Welcome to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Today, we are finishing a series. The series is titled Destiny. And we have looked thus far at three parts of fulfilling our destiny. Number one is what we have to know about our destiny. And we talked very specifically that God has called you and God has called me even before we were born to be fruitful. Wow. Now, a good theology is necessary. What we have to know is focused on God has been at work in your life before you were even born. Secondarily, what we have to discern, and that is specifically what we have to discern in the moment. You got to know the season that you're in and what God is asking of you now. Thirdly, we talked about what you have to do. And that is, take the first steps. We may call them baby steps, but that doesn't mean that they're simple or that they don't require great sacrifice. But take those first steps as God gives them to you. You've got to start out by doing what He asks. And then what we will look at today is specifically how to protect your destiny. And here we're going to look at four change points in our life where we have to know how to protect our destiny as we face those change points. It's a moving, simple, very short verse of Scripture, but Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." He was wrapping up a parable directed at those who were missing their destiny. And He wrapped it up by telling them, "You may be called, but you are not entering into your call. Many are called, few are chosen." That grips me because I don't want to be left in that lot of people. I want to do everything I can to discern and fulfill my destiny. Matter of fact, that's my job for myself, and that is my role as a pastor and leader of others. I so appreciate the transparency of Phil Calloway when he shared the story of his son, Steve. Steve was always fearless. They said when he was just a little boy, they'd take him to the ocean and he'd jump in looking for sharks. And then they'd take him to the mountains and he'd see how high he could climb. Easy to get away from them. And then one day when he was 5 years old, Phil said, "I watched Steve as he jumped off a roof, a garbage bag duct taped to his back." Wow, by the way, I've done similar. Phil wondered for years what God would make of their son. One day in college, it began to become clear to Steve that the Lord wanted him to invest his life in a very specific way. And he wrote home to his mom and dad. He wrote to Phil and his mom. And he said, "Dear Mom and Dad, in the country of Uganda, the Lord's Resistance Army is committing atrocities against children that are too awful for me to put in this letter. Over the years, they've abducted 50,000 kids and turned the ones that they haven't murdered into soldiers. I'd like to work with street children in Kampala. I'll be living with local missionaries. It will mean lots of needles, and I'll need to raise a little money too. Dad, you told me once that Jesus came to comfort us, not to make us comfortable. I guess I've been comforted enough. It's time for me to offer some comfort to others. Your son, Steve." I love this story as God was beginning to move upon his son's heart. And Phil went on to write, he said, "And so 1 month ago, we hugged our firstborn son goodbye as he embarked on a grand adventure halfway around the world." He said, "It's funny the questions people ask when they hear he's in Uganda. Aren't you worried about his safety?" "I have my moments," Phil said. "Check a list of the most dangerous spots on earth and Uganda nears the top. But is safety what we're here for? Isn't complacency the most dangerous place on earth? Isn't suburbia sucking the life out of our teenagers more than any foreign country ever could?" Phil said, "I sat with a missionary the other day who is pouring her life out in Pakistan. patching bodies and souls for Jesus. She's the only missionary in her area whose parents support her being there. "I must be honest," Phil said. "I understand. There are times that I'd rather Steve was home making good money. Yet I cannot hope for more than this," and I love what Phil emphasized here, "that my children will hear God's voice despite a noisy culture and that they will obey." Let's talk about it. How do you protect your calling at key change points? A number of years ago, I did a study. I felt like the Lord wanted me to, and so I set to work to study the life of Peter and Jesus, and I wanted to look at it chronologically. They were together, knowing each other, for 3.5 years. And within that time frame, there were 4 major turn points in Peter's life. Now, he had to respond to those change points in order to protect his destiny. I'd like to talk to you today about protecting your destiny at key change points. The first change point is when God calls you to invest your life into something significant for Him. The change point of calling in a person's life will have to do with both accepting God's purpose and being able to say to the Lord, "I don't understand necessarily what you want to do with me, but it seems significant, and I want you to know that I'm ready to follow." That's exactly what Peter did when he first met Jesus. John is the only gospel that records the meeting. It's in John chapter 1, verse 42. Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Know this, that when Peter got the invitation from Jesus, when he asked him immediately after Jesus said, "You're going to be called Peter," Peter said, "Well, where are you staying?" Jesus said, "Come and see." And what did Peter do? He went and saw. He followed. When God speaks to you at the change point of calling, He's asking you to simply follow Him and accept that He has a significant destiny for you. Let's talk about the second major change point in our lives. We have to know how to protect it as well. It's the change point of commitment. Did you know that it was 6 to 9 months later that Peter left the fishing business at the request of Jesus and followed Him? It wasn't immediately in John 1. Many months had gone by, and Peter had come to complete clarity on this, that the Lord had called him to significance. He didn't know what all that would be, but he knew that he had to follow. And as he's 6 to 9 months into following, there comes another change point, and it's a request from Jesus. And in Matthew 4:18-20, we find what Jesus asked. "Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And He said to them, 'Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed Him." When Jesus made the statement, "Follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men," He's asking for commitment. And that's exactly what Peter did. He dropped the nets and said, "Lord, I'm in." It was 6 to 9 months later after his initial calling. I want to encourage you to stay connected with the right people in your calling. Let me share with you, it is absolutely essential that you stay connected with the people that believe in you, that see something in you, that will help you, that will be patient with you, that will continue to invest into you when you struggle or fail. Keep those people around you, because Peter, by following Jesus, dropping the nets and following Him, he joined another group of people that were also following Jesus, and they held together. And I can tell you, the group you hang with will help you fulfill your destiny and calling. Let me give you a third change point in how to protect God's destiny in your life when you face it. It is the change point of offense. It was around the 2-year mark, and Jesus had just asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter had a revelation from the Father and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "My Father has revealed that to you." But then Jesus revealed that he was going to suffer a horrific death. Matter of fact, it was the first time that that was revealed to his key leaders. And Peter is offended by it. And he goes to him and he said, "No." He said, "Don't be talking like that." He said, "This is ruinous." And of course, he's thinking that it's ruinous for Jesus and ruinous for him. And Jesus rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you have not set your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Can I just share a truth with you? People, you and I, anyone, when we're offended by what God has asked us to commit to and to be, we will stay stuck between mediocrity or even just quitting until we opt for a maturity that causes us to face our true motivations. And when we face our true motivations with transparency, accountability, and commitment to the Lord, that is the only way that we will overcome the change point of offense. It takes maturity to rise above that. How do we know Peter did it? Because he continued to follow Jesus. That was not a deterring point. It was a committing point. And I can tell you, your point of offense, when people offend you, when you are offended by your circumstance, that can be a deter or that can be a commitment time. And it takes maturity to rise above that and say, "Lord, I will commit." Let me give you the final change point that we'll have to face if we're going to be able to embrace our destiny. It is the change point of disillusionment. In John 21, it's the 3.5-year mark. Jesus has already been resurrected. Peter and Jesus have now been associated together for 3.5 years. Peter has seen the resurrected Christ. He's received the Holy Spirit in John 20 when Jesus breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He's not been filled with the Spirit. That's in the beginning of the book of Acts. But he has received the Holy Spirit and been born again. And in John 21, there's an interaction between Jesus and Peter. And Peter is disillusioned very much with the commitment of his call, but without question with himself as well. And Jesus has very much a heart-to-heart talk with him and said, "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus asked him 3 times, "Do you love me more than these?" And Peter affirmed, "Yes, I love you, Lord." And each time Jesus said, "Then take care of those whom I've asked you to take care of. Feed my sheep." What is Jesus asking him to do? He's asking him not to be ruled by his emotions in the moment, but by the values of his heart. Jesus knew Peter loved him. Jesus is simply showing him what love for him looks like now. And Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And that's a major change point for Peter because he rises up. Obviously, he rises up and commits, not out of emotion, not out of a reward set in front of him. Matter of fact, Jesus told him, "You'll lose your life in a horrific way if you follow me fully." But he chose to follow. He followed on the basis of relationship and not on the basis of emotion or reward in the moment. And that is a huge mark of maturity, and that is the only way that we will rise above the disillusionment that we have in our circumstance with others. And in Peter's case, you know that he was suffering from disillusionment with himself. Let me share this with you. Mark Buntain was a wonderful missionary to Calcutta. Tens of thousands were impacted and are impacted to this day by the work that he did. But the foundation of that work came when Mark was 19 years old. His dad came to him. His dad oversaw the Assembly of God churches in all of Canada. And his dad told Mark that there's a church that no one else will go to in Saskatchewan, Canada. He said, "Son, I want you to go." And Mark agreed at the age of 19 to go. Mark went. Saskatchewan was exactly where he did not want to be. The temperatures in Saskatchewan in the wintertime, 10 degrees above to 23 below on average. It would hit in that range. Mark didn't want to be there. But he stuck it out. When he got there, it was just a handful, just a few people. But he worked real hard. One particular Sunday, they had 21 folks in church. His dad let him know that he was coming for a visit. Mark said to himself, "I know that my dad will see what I've done, how hard I've worked. We've been able to reach 21 people, at least on one Sunday." And he said, "I know that my dad will help me get out of here." His dad came in on a Friday, and he was also leaving that Friday evening, came in on the train. And he and Mark didn't spend a lot of time together. He said, "My dad was so busy with his work, and then he took a nap, and then between working and napping and eating, we didn't have any time to spend together." And Mark was wanting to ask for a transfer. "Get me out of here, Dad." And his dad, Dan Buntain was his name. Dan knew what his son was facing. And on the walk back to the train depot on that Friday evening, Dan stopped and he turned to his son and he said, "Now, Mark, I know how you feel. I know how you feel about being here. And you have one of two things that you can do tonight. I will give you the money and you can get on the train and go back with me to Toronto. You can go home with me. Or you can stay here, stick it out, and see what God can do in this place." Mark said there is a big, thick lump that came in his throat. Tears started pouring down his face. And he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, I'll stay." That was a change point in his life. You and I face four change points, and how we respond to them depends whether or not we'll be able to fulfill our destiny. The first one, change point of calling. We really have to know that God wants us, uses us, and has a plan for us. Secondarily, we have to make hard commitments at times. We have to leave, reprioritize. We have to say yes when He says, "Do this." Thirdly, there's the change point of being offended at the cost, whether that's because we're offended at others or circumstances, or just offended at what we have had to be doing for so long. I can tell you, turning to Him and saying, "I'll stay," as Mark did, so significant. And lastly, the change point of disillusionment, when we're really disappointed in ourselves and others or circumstances, but especially ourselves. And then to rise up and not respond out of emotion, because if you listen to your emotions when you're down on yourself, you'll quit. But if you can look to the author and the finisher of your faith, lay aside every sin and wait that so easily besets us, and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of what He has begun, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. That is the only way to handle disillusionment. Let me leave you with a quote. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." That's from missionary Jim Elliot, who gave his life as a missionary. He wrote that in his journal not all that long before he lost his life in South America. I want to encourage you that you will have to protect your destiny when you face a change point that brings conflict into your life. This is Mike Oney encouraging you. Would you head over to paultotimothy.com? Specifically, let me say this. If you feel like God has called you to be a leader of leaders and you have an interest in starting a church-based training center, head over to paultotimothy.com. We have a way of partnering with you for you to offer a certification that is with a seminary and with us, and we want to make that available to you, head over to paultotimothy.com and check that out. Looking forward to our next time together.